Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Pet World Insider, where we take you inside the world of pets, pet products, pet places, and share amazing pet stories. Now, I certainly refer to myself as a pet parent. I don't look at Sugar and Zoe or my jellyfish or any of the other animals that we have in our family as possessions. However, legally speaking, there are some issues when it comes to animals. So we have reached out to our good friend and regular to Pet World Insider, Bob Ferber. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Robert. Love being here. Appreciate the invitation.
Well, I want to jump right in because animals as property really kind of brings up a lot of different issues. What should people know about their animals?
First of all, in as much as, you know, studies have shown that the majority of dog lovers see their dogs and cats as members of the family, the reality is the law doesn't look at it that way. It goes back to English common law, where, you know, which I had to learn in law school, that the world is divided into two parts, people and everything else, and objects. And animals were put under the category of objects. And so animals are property. They are owned, not just cows and whatever, but every animal is subject to being owned. So when you adopt an animal, you really own it. That doesn't mean that you can do anything with it. Of course, we talked in another segment about animal cruelty and neglect. You can't. You can take your Cadillac and beat it up to death with a sledgehammer if you want, but you can't do that to your dog. And that actually gets into the things of why animals as property really doesn't work. But that's how the law basically looks at it initially.
There's a big movement out there to make people guardians of their animals like they do for their children. Why doesn't that work legally?
It was a wonderful, everybody was well-intentioned. And I was very much a part of the city of L.A. actually at one point started to rewrite. And everywhere it talked about animal owners, the word was changed to guardian. I was not one of the ones that did that, but I was supportive of the change, and I've always been supportive of the change. Animals are not property. Animals,
right.
I think the law back in England in the 1600s, which actually goes back even before that to the Roman times, the world isn't divided into two parts, property, I mean, things, objects and people. It's objects, animals, and people. And animals, if anything, are way closer to people than they are to objects. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that. So it creates so many problems when we have them as property. So there was a movement saying, well, let's make them guardians using the model of children. And I actually debated this in several animal conferences about this, and it goes to this. To me, I think people sometimes oversimplify things, and people say, well, they're not property, you know, they're not objects, so let's make them like people. Well, animals are not people either, and anybody who knows about dog training knows that if you treat your child your dog like a child or like your best friend without any boundaries and with the training and talking to an animal the way an animal understands, they're not going to get through. They are different than us, and in good ways. I'm glad that I celebrate that. So I've always maintained that the guardianship is misguided, and I think it's why we have seen now a retreat. The opponents to changing to guardianship have a good point. Animals are not children, and the consequences of using the word guardian. Guardian is a legal term that's in all the laws in our states, and it refers to children or to people that are incompetent, an elderly person, and you can be the guardian of your great-great-grandfather who's disabled and has Alzheimer's. To say that an animal fits in that category is, I think, it's misguided and it doesn't understand the animal or people. So it doesn't work, and I think what's happened is it's kind of destroyed the effort, because what people won these arguments over and over again, the opponents to guardianship, saying that, you know, this means like, well, a good example, it was kind of sounded crazy at first, but if a dog is a child who has a guardian can go to court and get a lawyer to fight the guardian, saying that that guardian's not taking care of me, a foster care situation. And that's good. But, you know, if a child's being abused, they should be, by their, who's taking care of them, they should be able to go to a court. But it would be absurd of, you know, what's going to happen with a dog? Is, are they going to get a lawyer? Are we going to, there was a fear that animal activists or animal crazy people, we're all crazy, but the ones that are a little more crazy, would go around saying, well, you didn't walk your dog every day, so I'm going to sue. We talked about it in another segment, you and I, that not walking your dog is not against the law. Well, under guardianship, your neighbor may decide that, you know, you're not a good guardian. You don't walk your dog every day. I'm going to go to court and take your animal away. Under the laws of guardianship, you could theoretically do that. So that's right. What's happened. And I think it's very sad because it's kind of slowed the movement down to change them to property. I don't. What I propose is that animals be defined as what they are. There are three things on the planet. There's objects, metal, steel, rocks, ocean, and then there's animals, and then there's people. And give animals their own set of rights and rules and protection for what they deserve and what works.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think that's an important notion. And you can see, as much as I begrudgingly like to admit this, but Bob, I know you'll take this the right way. You can see why we sometimes need attorneys and laws to sort these things out, because the best intentions can sometimes take us down a path that we didn't intend. So it's that old adage of you might win the battle but lose the war. And this may be one of those situations.
That's right. And it still means that most of my friends are not lawyers, but but it is true. And this was misguided, I think, and misunderstood. And, you know, and advocates, when we see about laws about spay and neuter, for those of your listeners who agree that we should have mandatory spay and neuter in communities, and that's, and people are entitled to their opinions, but many of the opponents to spay and neuter are people, they use the argument that the animal is my property. You can't tell me what to do if I don't. Now, these people, though, are the same people, maybe, that they're breeding animals that end up in shelters that you and I as taxpayers and your listeners pay for the resulting tragedy of a homeless animal,
right,
because of unrestricted or irresponsible breeding. But how do you fight that when the owners of property, animals, legitimately say, this is my property. You can't tell me to do that. Of course, there's other arguments, and, you know, for law students about you can own your Cadillac and you can beat it to death if you want, but you can't drive it on the street without headlights. So we do have regulations about that. You can't drive it with smoke coming out of the back. So it's as you said, it's something for lawyers to debate, but I certainly hope your listeners will follow this and get involved. Talk to legislators or local other animal people about, well, how do we change this if we should? I think we do need to do it, and we need to recognize dogs, cats, lions, elephants as what they are. They're a separate but beautiful part of the world, and I would disrespect them by saying that they're like people or like a table.
I couldn't agree more. And Bob, by the way, you do have one more friend who's not an attorney. I'm your friend. So.
Thank you. That makes two.
That makes two. All right, my friend. Well, hey, I want to say thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. You can always reach out to Bob via email at K9CatLover@yahoo.com.
And that was Scrappy saying goodbye to everybody.
And that was Scrappy, yes. He's not sure about the cat part of that. But
yeah, he didn't like that. He's a blind chihuahua. He doesn't know.
All right, Bob, thanks for joining us. Folks,
take care, Robert.
We're going to be right back with more Pet World Insider after these messages.
Pet Chats is a greet and treat video phone that lets you be with your pet from anywhere. When you're at work or on vacation or just feel like checking in, you can connect with your pet from your phone, tablet, or PC. Hear and see each other while apart. Reward them with snacks and sniffs they love. Record and share fun videos. Play even when away. Never miss a moment with Pet Chats. Pre-order yours today at PetChats.com. That's PetChats with a Z.com.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
SlimDoggy.com is a place to go to read about all things related to canine fitness, nutrition, and health. Be sure to download the SlimDoggy app in the App Store as well. With information on over 2,000 dog foods, it tells you how many calories your dog is burning and how much you should feed them to keep them healthy. Visit SlimDoggy.com for more information. Hello, everybody. Robert Semro here with an important question for pet owners. Are you a Pet World Insider? If not, you should be. It's free, and Pet World Insider has a lot of great information for all types of pet owners. We have audio and video segments, as well as a library of great articles from pet experts to help keep you informed about the latest information in the pet world. Visit Pet World Insider online at PetWorldInsider.com.